You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.
What it is, what it do, welcome to Fresh Take, and we are hosting the Okotoks Dogs halfway season review as we are coming up on the WCBL All-Star Game, which is hosted at lovely Siemens Stadium. First off, we introduce the longtime voice of the Dogs, the one and only Gino. Gino, thank you for coming and talking here about the Dogs.
Looking forward to it. Never done an All-Star Game in my life, so this could be a barrel of laughs or a barrel of monkeys, whatever way you want to put it. So it's going to be wild.
And then the one, the only, he's got many hats, Peter Klein.
Literally and figuratively, yes. I am the owner of several chapeaux, and I also do a bunch of stuff. But yes, happy to be here.
I should have wore a hat. Like, I missed the memo to wear a red hat today. So, sorry for doing my hair for YouTube, I guess.
Oh, it looks great. It looks great.
There's not much in the back, I'll tell you that right now.
So we come here, we're at the halfway point for the Dogs, three of the core broadcasters for this team. Maybe we can add a few more broadcasters. Like you joke, we can get Sandra, we can get a few other people maybe to come on and join stuff for the Dogs. The Dogs, they finished in their last 10, going 6-4, unfortunately dropping their last one. Not a great last game for them, but they are the top of the WCBL. They're leading the Western Division right now at 33-12. And I'll start with you, Gino, just because you've probably called the most games out of the lot of us. Kind of just first, your initial impressions about this team with you kind of being the veteran of calling this group.
Well, I guess this would be year three for that, but who's counting? It feels like six with the pandemic. But yeah. To be honest, I'm not totally shocked that the Dogs are where they are right now because of Team Red and Team Black last year. I know me and Peter kind of joked a lot of times, like, are ready for another big Team Red and Team Black showdown last summer. And it was tough for guys like us, but for the building of the program that the Dogs have, they got to showcase their academy that I think pretty much, if you ask anybody, is 100% graduation to NCAA Division I or Division III ball, wherever you go. And it continues to, and even in the CIS, or sorry, in Canada as well, there's a lot of great talent. And of course, they've done some recruiting as well. You look at McCoy Pierce being one of them. He came out of the season flying with four home runs, I think, in the first, I want to say, like 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Like, he was absolutely on fire, and everybody else has just kind of followed suit, and the development has been off the charts, and there's no surprise there. They got all the veterans, they've got the good players, and they've got the great facility to help it out. So nothing shocks me. And I guess you want to call them Okotoks Lake is right behind them. And yeah, they stayed with them that game the other night where it went 2 hours, where the Dogs held on for a 2-0 win. And it probably, if it wasn't for three great pitching matchups, it could have been a lot different game.
Peter, your thoughts so far in the halfway point?
Yeah, I mean, much like Gino, like you could kind of expect this coming into the season because of the experience that a lot of these guys gotten. And like Gino said, being able to showcase this, the Dogs Academy being named one of, I think, their top three for academies in North America. Like, they've done a phenomenal job with this program, and you can see it. You can see it in the development. I've mentioned it on a couple of broadcasts, to watch guys like Aiden Rose last year just get better as the season goes along. And then all of a sudden, by the end of it, it's, oh, wow, this guy's hitting 273 and he's in the lineup every day, when he just kind of seemed like he'd be the soft hitting second baseman replacement in the seventh inning. To see guys like that develop and get that time to develop, and now mixing them in with the great recruiting that they've done. And then again, to Gino's point, the facilities are incredible. They gave me a walkthrough of it last year. And as someone who grew up in a small town of 2,500, where we had one pitching machine with little yellow rubber balls firing at us.
Oh, those things hurt.
Oh, yeah, they sure did, Gino. They sure did. Very predictable where they were flying, too. But with the facilities that the Dogs have, like, it is really second to none. And so to now see that playing out it's been a lot of fun. And what was crazy, they start the year, what was it, winning 9 or 10 in a row. And then
which never happens with that team. They're always slow because all the recruits are late coming in. They're usually like 2-6 or 2-8. And then that didn't happen.
Well, and that was the crazy thing, was that they got off to this good start. And then you're looking at the roster. It's like half of these guys aren't even here yet. Like you still had guys like McDowell who would come in late. Wilkinson came in late. Like you had these guys who were a little bit late to the party and just kind of supplementing all of it. My only worry is that, like, we knew they were good. They knew they were good and they were miles ahead of everyone. And now Sylvan Lake has started to catch up. Was that switch kind of flipped off a little bit, or can they get it back going? I think they probably can, but I think it's going to be a pretty fun race for first the rest of the way.
Yeah, definitely. Like you hit on there, Peter, it's my first year with the Dogs. So my first introduction there and getting to call baseball, and it was everything I wanted it to be, you know, getting to be at the park and getting to, it's just a different vibe than what you've had to, you know, call hockey, or, you know, for me, I'm called basketball for 10 years, called volleyball, called track, called football, but there's just a different communal type of feeling you feel from everyone at Siemens Stadium when you're there, when the window's open. When the window's closed, maybe that's kind
they're
of
both open
there.
Now. So
they're
we're
both
fine.
Open now. So that's a little inside baseball, quote unquote, for us here. But yeah, they started off great. And then you mentioned they had some losses, but just an unwieldy road trip. You know, just the way they had to travel, right? I think they went from like Lethbridge then to Regina, then to Swift Current. It was just an unforgiving travel road trip for them to start the season. And they were able to break 500 on that road trip when I think a lot of teams, and you mentioned like, you know, guys like McDowell on that road trip. It was not a very nice road trip for them to start the season on, but they at least broke 500 on it.
Do you know? It's something that, you're gonna try and offload your long road trip, which would also, I think they even went to Fort McMurray on that
they
trip,
did yeah
I'm
they
not
went
mistaken
Mac,
they started
yeah.
They went Sylvan Lake, Fort Mac, and down through Saskatchewan. The Fort McMurray trips, this guy's a little bit of a veteran of those ones. They're terrible. They're absolutely awful. But
yeah,
I think just like the whole grind that is the WCBL season now, and it's really kind of been turned on its edge here the last, well, obviously a couple of years, but with no Medicine Hat now in that division, it really kind of, I thought Medicine Hat might roll over the East, and that's kind of where we'll maybe segue a little bit here to talk about the East just for a second. When Moose Jaw came into town, I was impressed. Like, it was small ball. It was double, single. And they did hit one home run in the second game, but they swept the Dogs at Siemens Stadium, which no other team has done this year. And it's not an easy road trip. It doesn't matter if Weyburn's got 7 wins. You still got to play in Weyburn. I've been to Weyburn. It's a nice place in the summertime. So maybe not the ballpark. I've never been to it, but you know, one day maybe I'll cross that off the list. But it's not a Swift Current's always a very steady team, when whether they were the Swift Current Indians or now the 57s, are always a competitive team. And you usually see those really good competitive teams on a candidate game in Okotoks. So you want to showcase the other side of the league. And it's just going to be a fun weekend. I've never seen an all-star game before at that level of baseball. So a real good chance. You, of course, with the three of us split in a summer of baseball, we don't get to see everybody. So we all have different ins and outs of who should we watch for this coming weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because we were talking about it before. I haven't seen any of the East teams. Just the way the schedule is broke, it's been nothing but West for me so far. So the most I can add on any discussion about the East is I've played in the Moose Jaw ballpark before, and the sun's really annoying for a first baseman at a certain time of night. That's the extent of the expertise I can provide, is that the first baseman best be bringing sunglasses. That's the extent of it. But I'm excited to see what the rest of the league has to offer, because like you said, like Moose Jaw 28-15. Like, there's obviously good players throughout this league. So excited to get a chance to see them in a few days here.
And we'll go over some of the all-stars, I guess, since we're on the all-star side of things. You know, a few guys that, one particular that we were surprised that wasn't an all-star, you know, specifically in the, you know, one player in Cazorla, the game that Peter and I did have together at the beginning of the season, we were just in amaze. Like, Cazorla, every single time he was up to bat, he always just seemed to be the game breaker for them. When they needed a big hit, he got a big hit. When they needed a steal, they got a steal. Defensively, pretty good as well. So he just seems like a 5-tool player for this team. So I'm a little bit surprised that Cazorla didn't get that all. Not a lot of Dogs, and we'll talk about all the Dogs that did get it. I was surprised, and I think you were too, Gino, that Cozzorla wasn't one of those guys in the All-Star roster with how great he's been this year.
Well, and I think even on top of that, Josh, it's the fact that, you know, Cozzorla, I believe his batting average right now, he's hitting, I think he's 360. He's fourth in batting right now. And yet we don't see, you know, top three guys that aren't in this, but I know there's a selection process of how this All-Star game goes, but Cozzorla to me, especially last year, he was so fun to watch, and he was young and from the Dogs Academy. He's from Colombia. He's from Caracas, Venezuela originally, but makes home in Okotoks and spends a lot of time at the training facilities at the Duvernay Fieldhouse. And every time he comes up, his walk-up music, where it has like that whistle at the beginning, it's just like silence, something great is about to happen. And he's just been fun to watch. And I don't know what his intro music is called, but I called two of his home runs. I called it Fuego number three and Fuego number four. So this goes for a lot of guys that are on this roster for the All-Star game. Like, it's a great showcase. And I'm glad to see a Jordan Bock as a really good catcher for the Fort McMurray Giants. I really liked watching Fort McMurray in the last season series. They were at Stephen Stadium with my good buddy Ray Brown coaching them. Reese Calvin, so fun to watch. Charlie Towers at short. That's a very strong team and a good hitting team. And they'll be dangerous to watch. They're in that spot right now. They're flirting with the Bulls for third, and Edmonton's trying to get in. You look at Jordan Moffitt is in the lineup, like him as a reliever. He just mowed guys over. He kind of had the Matt Wilkinson effect a little bit into late innings, but he would just, it kind of reminded me on that Canada Day game. I can't remember who started for Edmonton, but Jordan Moffitt finished the game. So it was kind of like the Curt Schilling, Randy Johnson sort of, all right, I'll do five, you pitch four, and we'll win this ball game. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Peter.
No, go ahead, Peter.
I was just going to say, just to piggyback off of that, other guys who were kind of excited to see, I just saw him in my last one, but Ethan Hee from Sylvan Lake, the dude is a vacuum at second. I may as well have just had a number four stamp for my scorebook because it was L4, 4-3, 4-3 put out. Just like over and over and over again, this guy was a vacuum there. And getting it done with the bat as well. I believe his batting average is over 300. So he is a guy who I'm excited to kind of get this showcase. But just to add my two cents to the Cozzorla conversation, I honestly, like, I saw, okay, All-Stars announced. In my notes, I typed All-Star by Cozzorla just to get ahead of it. And I caught myself and had to delete it the other day. I was like, I don't think he's actually on there. Because like he just, I think it was, and Gino, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this. I think it was Glenn Gulletson who, he was the first that I heard say, in the fabric of the game. And it feels like Cazorla's in the fabric of the game all the time when you watch him play.
Fabric game.
Right? Like but it works, right? Like just every time there's a ball game, he does something that impacts winning, whether it's something defensive, whether it's something on the bases, either stealing a base or forcing a pitcher into a balk, or just getting from first to third on a single where a lot of guys wouldn't get that. And then, like you said as well, just mashing with the bat. I was very surprised. And again, that's maybe it's a bit of carryover from last year because he was so good a year ago as well. But I was very, very, very surprised he was not on the list.
I'll maybe just punch in one thing. Maybe the bigger exception, it's not an Okotoks dog, is how Tyler McWillie is not on this roster. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's the Shohei Ohtani of the WCBL. Hits, pitches, and does it all. And I remember he pitched and then hit in a game last year that I watched. I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen, because I don't get to see Shohei, obviously, on a regular basis. But that maybe is the only other exception. Like, I'm going to have to think on that one a little bit as we get closer to All-Star weekend.
Mm-hmm. One player that I'm excited to see again, and I think defensively and speed, guy from the prospects, and I always butcher his name, so forgive me, but Fearstake, I think you got to see him a lot in Canada Day too there, Gino. He's second right now in WCBL and hitting, great base runner, great defensively for them. There's a few games I've watched against the prospects where he's kept them in with his defense and with his base running ability. So, and obviously he's been a pretty clutch hitter for them as well. So good to see him there. But even Cozzorla, you mentioned, just looking now, like Cozzorla is fourth in WCBL in batting right now at 360 right now. So again, it's kind of weird to not have him. And again, credit to you, Peter, fabric of the game, such a perfect sense of it, because he's just there. He's just Mr. Clutch for them. And as we get closer to the playoffs for the Dogs, yeah, you know, the big bat of McCoy Pierce, and he's hitting 358, maybe my favorite batting up music. The first time I heard that, and I heard the hit 'em high from Space Jam, and was like, okay,
this super is weird, amazing. Super weird one to me.
Yeah.
Oh no, I love it.
Do you?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it gets me more fired up. Like, not that I have to get super fired up, but like, it gets me more fired up. Just like, I want to just like get up and start doing jumping jacks or something when it comes on. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. Well, and Pierce was hurt for 2 or 3 weeks, or for a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. when he was on his tear, and he's just getting back. He's still pretty solid at first, and he was really good defense. Well, the whole defense was good in that 2-0 game, obviously. Ricardo Sanchez, maybe another one that we haven't seen that maybe could have cracked this lineup, but look, Brunner, McFarland, Jacob Murrow behind home plate. Brendan Luther's been the everyday shortstop for this team and still as steady Eddie as ever. And Josh's favorite player by far, Micah McDowell, just patrolling center field like there's no tomorrow. Like, what did he steal? 6 bases the one day you called the game or something like that?
4. So he had
4. Okay.
He had 4 stolen bases. He got hit twice in that game. He walked. He got a double. He got an RBI double in that game. He's one of the most electrifying. I said this in a tweet. You know, because I've had the privilege of calling basketball for the State Trojans and the Dinos the last handful of years. So I've seen a lot of great athletes now that are in the Canadian Basketball League. And, you know, you guys have got to see some great hockey players, Cal Makar for you, Gino. so I'm sure he's not at that level, but he's maybe the greatest athlete I've had the privilege of calling. Matthew Trevellini is probably the second greatest athlete who's done great things in track. Getting to do stuff with him, seeing at State and breaking a bunch of Alberta records. But McDowell, and it's crazy because you look at his Oregon State stats, right? And it's just like, okay, yeah, like he had four steals in the season at in NC2A level. And then he comes here and it's like, this is just a different little sandbox for McDowell all of a sudden, the way that he can base run here.
No kidding. I think he was a late add last year. I can't remember if I think he played for Team Black last year. As my prep is probably not up to snuff today, apparently, but he was like, okay, this is just a really, like you said, he looks like a really good athlete. It's like, if I picked him to be on my basketball team, he could probably be a starter by the end of the season if I showed him how to play, or same with volleyball, any sport. And that's what makes baseball so great. There is a lot of two sport athletes when you come to baseball, even though if you're at the academy, your one sport is baseball. But I couldn't agree more with you of what Micah McDowell has done. And Noah Geeky, I haven't seen him pitch this year. He's just been a fielder, which was the absolute opposite last year. Yeah, he warmed up my game. He was going to come in for Matt Wilkinson if he blew the save, I think. But I was like, well, that's not going to happen. So that's why he took a bullpen session. And he's been in the field. So it's a really diverse group. And probably minus maybe the 2007, the 2008 Dogs teams, probably the most talent as a whole this group has.
Well, and you mentioned Geeky. I mean, it was a rough out, and I think he gave up 5 runs. You could see the stuff. Like, Jermaine was like, you can see the stuff here, and he has a nice breaking ball and a decent fastball, but they were just all over him in that game. And he ended up staying in the game batting for 2 more times around, which he's not supposed to, and literally broke point streak because he wasn't supposed to be back in. So point streak completely broke because they're like, why is the pitcher doing this? This isn't supposed to be happening. So I had to go the old school. That was my first time to really, because I had been relying on Point Streak Live to kind of follow along with some of the stats. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm counting baseball the old school way here. But I mean, you talked about him, just a great talented athlete. His brother obviously just now plays for the Coyotes. He was a lottery pick. So, and I believe his brother was down for that Canada Day game that you got to be at.
Well, and Morgan Geeky plays for the Seattle Kraken. So there's some athletic prowess in
that. Yeah, it's a little talented. Yeah. And can tell that Connor has some talent. We'll see where he comes during, you know, we just had 2 Dogs drafted in the MLB draft, which is super exciting to see. And I'm guessing you had the privilege of getting to see both those gentlemen, Gino.
I did. It's a great story for Jacob Melton because it was actually on Calgary Radio the other day where manager Mitch Schmidt talked about him. He went second round, and that's pretty high prowess where you're heading to in baseball. And apparently he was terrible his first year with the Dogs, like absolutely garbage. Well, I don't want to say garbage, but I'm just paraphrasing what Mitch had said. And they benched him for a while. Then he finally kind of got into a groove and was part of that championship team in 2019 that beat Regina in a great series and was a big contributor to that. And to me, Gavin Logan is a catcher. He looks the part. He plays the part. The way his stance and that extra little stretch on the outside corner framing, that guy's a baller. And getting him in the ninth round to Arizona, I'm really excited for that. I've kind of been an adopted Arizona Diamondbacks fan. And of course, everybody will kind of draw their eyebrow because I am a Red Sox fan first, but actually going to Chase Field, like I could play ball. Like if I had no worries in the world, I'd play in Arizona the rest of my life. Like that's why maybe just the sidebar of why doesn't a hockey team work here? Cause I would love it here. So, well, I'll just leave it at that. But Gavin to me just looks the part of like a strong catcher, that Buster Posey, and just maybe a little Ivan Rodriguez, like aggressive at the plate catching. He's got all the tools there.
Anything to add there, Peter?
I didn't get the chance to see him, but you think about the Dogs Academy and you talk about like the progression from year one to year two, year three. Mm-hmm. There's another example of it where the first year, okay, we got some work to do, but like you go through there and it's okay. Well, if you need to work on this, then we have this area here. If you need to work on this, then we got this guy there. Like it really is an incredible facility for player development. And if you are a young player, like I don't know why you wouldn't want to go there. With all due respect to any of it, I'm not saying don't go to Sylvan Lake or anything like that. Like I'm sure everything's right there as well. Yeah. But it, from a baseball playing standpoint, it really is the perfect setup there. And you can see some of the development that a lot of these players have gone through.
Absolutely. You know, you're talking about catchers. Jacob Morrow, he's an all-star. Super impressed with him. Just a clutch bat, but defensively, he guards the plate so well. Like there's not many wild pitch. I think we've seen one wild pitch get by him. But for the most part, he guards his plate really, really, really well.
Mm-hmm. His arm too is phenomenal. Like the last game I had, there was first and second, nobody out, and he got the guy off second leaning too far, and then he got the guy off first leaning too far, and all of a sudden bases are empty and there's two away. Like his arm is a difference maker back there. And because base stealing has kind of gone out of the big league game now, you don't think of that from a catching standpoint. But again, talking about someone like Pudge Rodriguez who would change game plans, I think Morrow is kind of along those similar lines where that arm is a factor and you have to be aware of that. And especially at Siemens Stadium, it is a big ballpark, though the ball does not necessarily fly out of there.
Yeah.
Base running, you have to mind your P's and Q's and kind of has to be station to station, try to get your advances where you can. And so to be able to force teams to kind of throw away the base running angle is a big factor, I think.
You know,
you took everything that I was going to say. Yeah. Peter. No. I've seen a lot of Jacob Morrow this year. I haven't seen as much from, I'm losing everybody's
JJ.
Name. They have so many. They have so many catchers too. They have Kobe Levitz, who was on their roster last year. Mm-hmm. He's kind of been on the back burner with the Academy. He's a younger catcher. And they have abundance. They have just an abundance of everything.
Yeah.
You need a catcher. I've got three. What do you need? And so versatile that lineup is. It's going to be hard to, it's going to come down. And I think we always know this answer, Josh and Peter, when kids start going back to school in August, they have pushed the league back to finish a little bit sooner. So all of your guys are still kicking around before they head back to school. How many are still going to be sticking around by the time the playoffs roll on? Cause those are best of three. So
yeah,
for pitchers, you need probably three games out of two or three of your top pitchers to have a chance to win.
Well, and that was, and it's why I still have like a bit of pause this year, because last year it felt like it was Dogs Black's world and everyone else was just living in it. And then you look at the lineups in the playoff games, it's like, I've called half this team's games and I don't know who some of these guys are, but it's just a bunch of the big guys have gone back. So that depth is going to be key. And guys like Kobe, Gino's got me rattled. Caleb Levins and guys like that. Guys like Aiden Rose again, who I brought up before, who are hanging around for a little bit longer before heading back to school. I guess Aiden probably wouldn't be, but guys like that are going to be very important for you as you go into the final few weeks of this season now.
And I think what they've done with their bullpen too, I think is a case for that, right? We don't see the starters. I haven't at least seen a starter go more than maybe six. They normally go to that six, and then it's an inning. It's a pitcher an inning to really get those reps in as they get ready for the playoff time. But I have not, even if a pitcher is rolling, I've seen a few guys come in. I think the last game we saw, I think it was Brody Fruno or David Chase. I think it was David Chase came in, boom, three strikeouts in a row. I'm like, okay, well, surely they're going to bring him back in. No, save him in the pen, save the arm, bring out another guy. That typically has been the role that they have gone out of the pen so far this year.
Well, and the big thing there's some very direct instructions from NCAA coaches. My pitcher does not pitch more than this many pitches or go this many innings. There is a very concrete, do not deal with this. But Bobby Vath did go eight innings on Tuesday night before Wilkinson took over. And I looked at pitch count, like, okay, kind of kicking around there. So maybe they got a little bit leeway here, but Bobby Vath may not play for a game for the Dogs because he might miss a start just because, and you're probably going to have the odd game of, you're probably going to have a Noah Geeky spot start here somewhere just to kind of get through that stretch. But they're very direct on what my players are doing. And I think the big one out of that is actually Matt Wilkinson, because first game he played, I was like, this kid's going to go seven innings in and strike out 20. Though he got rocked in five, and he did start winning again after, but Mitch Schmidt and Dave Robb and crew all make the decision to put him into the bullpen, and now has three saves, and he's 3-for-3 in the save department. No doubt about that. And that's going to be something too. Like, as you mentioned, might be able to use Matt Wilkinson for some long relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love what they're doing with the bullpen right now, where it's kind of Kansas City Royals-esque when the Blue Jays were faltering against the Royals back in 15, where you can kind of make it a seven inning ball game because McFarland was lights out in the bullpen. Now you have him coming in the seventh, which I think is illegal in some countries. And then Wilkinson in for the eighth and ninth is ridiculous. So now if a starter goes six strong, you're going to make a comeback against those cats. It's going to be tough, so that they can put that pressure on early. They're so good at getting out of the, again, a Lewism, but starting on time. They're very good at doing that. And then shutting things down on the back end. Like it's a very good setup. And even if it is brought on by college coaches saying, hey, you don't overthrow them, because I have to make that kid pitch 225 pitches over 3 days on a weekend in Omaha, Nebraska. How dare you? But that's another rant for another day.
I love it. It reminds me of Mariano Rivera in the 90s in the playoffs, where Tom Gordon would go before him in the seventh, and then he would go two if Joe Torre really just wanted to be an ass about it and say,
yeah,
all right, you're getting six strikeouts or four strikeouts, and thanks for coming. So that's it has that sort of familiarity, but I don't want to pump these kids' egos up too much, even though I watched Matt Wilkinson come in. This was the year that they won. He was a smaller version of himself right now. And he came in the seventh inning of a random playoff game and struck out the side. And I was like, who the hell is this guy? Like, where did he?
Gino's like, I think I'm in love.
Well, no, stop it. But he said still in high school too. I was like, good Lord. Like, you're throwing 88 and like you're 16, 17 years old. Like, I think he might have a future. Kind of reminds me of Eric Gagne or like a CeCe Sabathia approach with the left-hander, just the build that they have. That was the first, I'm like, yes, do that. Yeah. Like, if you aspire to be those two, you might make some money too.
I thought Jabba Chamberlain, because the same person I brought to Peter we saw. That's the first thing I wanted to Peter.
It's funny that you mentioned Jabba Chamberlain, not for the Matt Wilkinson comparison, but the other night, maybe a week ago, there was one pitcher for an opposing team, and maybe it was Wayburn. The guy kept like brushing his face, there's a big swarm of mosquitoes like kind of flew in. And I was going back to that one playoff game. I can't remember who were they playing.
Cleveland.
It was like Cleveland. They were crawling all over Jabba Chamberlain's sweaty neck. And I don't know what it was, but I just had to bring up that for Bugs and Jabba Chamberlain. That's my biggest memory of Jabba Chamberlain.
Oh man. Now, anytime Wilkinson comes out now, I'm going to say that they're sticking to the Wilkinson rules. Like they had the Jabba rules back in the
Jabba
day.
Jabba rules. Yeah. I mean, so Bruner right now, he leads the WCBL in wins right now. He's an all-star. So he's obviously going to be their number one ace as we head towards the playoffs. Who else do you kind of think that will be the second that they'll go with as playoffs come up that, okay, we know that this guy can give us a head full of good innings, that he can be second after Bruner heading into playoffs?
Ooh, it's tough because you look at how the bullpen's kind of operated. I would think your number two is Bobby Vath, but remember, Quinn Toshnick is around, and Julian Tymochko is kind of kicking around. They are, they have a lot of options. Tymochko being who he is, I believe is hurt right now. I think he's on the reserve roster. He may not be back with the team right now. Graham Seltzer is another one. Like, they have the options to kind of go deeper into their bullpen, and David Case can go long relief too if they want to go that direction. Baltus had a rough go against Lethbridge yesterday. But I just, the way I watched Bobby Vath's last two games, or how he responded after getting lit up by Fort McMurray in a 7-2 loss with a game that he won 2-0 against. So, like, he's your number two. And just depending how your innings are going, you might go Wilkinson in a game three for a situation like that. You might spot start him that way. I could totally see it, but those would be my three right off the hop without even thinking about it.
What about you,
Peter? I think Wilkinson would be interesting. Like, you're down 1-0 as like, hey, we kind of need this one. Maybe you do that, but then for a game three, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of Vath. My first thought was Tymochko. I've seen more of him, but just looking at the numbers, Vath would certainly be on there. But like you guys have said, they have some options if they wanted. You wouldn't see this necessarily in a best of three, but if you needed to do a bullpen game, you absolutely could. Like, there's just, again, like you said, there's options everywhere. There's extra outfielders, there's extra infielders, there's extra catchers. I'm sure there's extra coaches just hanging around that we don't know about.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they have four broadcasters. Like, there's just, they have depth everywhere.
Okay, we're not the Sherwood Park Crusaders. I had like six there 1 year.
So I would be in agreement then that Vath would probably be the guy. I haven't seen enough of him. But I think I would be very interested to see what the utilization of Wilkinson is just throughout, right? Because we see in the big leagues all the time, bullpen management changes in the playoffs. The closer all of a sudden comes in the fifth, sixth inning. If it's a 10 situation, how willing would the Dogs be to do that in those situations, given the amount of talent they have everywhere else?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I kind of wanted to talk about the start of the lineup here, which is two players in particular, Brandon Luther and Tucker Zadunich. Luther has been terrific at leadoff. I think he's been great. Zadunich is such an interesting player to watch. He had that streak there where it just seems like he was wearing golden sombreros, but then he just comes in and gets big hits all the time. I was like, I cannot make heads or tails of Tucker Zadunich because he does have a nice batting average, but then there's these games where he's wearing a golden sombrero.
The pride of Hyrule, Alberta's Tucker Zadunich, of course. Yeah. No, I loved watching him in Dogs Red last year. It's funny. Here's the big stat line difference. His average has gone down, but he had 5 home runs last year. He has none this year.
I know, it's crazy.
It doesn't make a whole lick of sense, to be honest, but he could be that guy that is saving for the playoffs. This is just like the Paul O'Neills of the world, right? Like, that's who I kind of, that was my first thing. Like, if this kid gets to the playoffs and gets in a rhythm, Mitch Schmidt is going to be licking his lips and say, I'm just going to throw Tucker out. And he reminds me of Paul O'Neill. That is like my,
it's a great comparison. It's a great comparison, Gino.
Like, I'm sure the Gatorade boxes in the our Gatorade cases in the dugout are thrilled with that.
No, I think that's a weird, and it's just so strange how his game has he's technically got more hits this year. They're just not extra base. He's got 45 hits compared to 38 at this point in 33 games last year. So, and he's played 41. So he's creeping above average. He just hasn't had those extra base hits this year.
And what's weird is like he had 17 with Reinhardt this year. Like it's not like it was something throughout the year. Like at university, he was mashing as well. And now here, and like his RBI totals are up. And I had him the other night against Sylvan Lake, where just like, it's one of those ones where sometimes when you're on a roll, like the ball just seems to find you. It just seemed like he was on a roll, and every time he came up was a big moment, and he delivered in all of those. And he is another one who I thought last year really benefited from the two teams and that experience. Cause I thought by the end of the year, he was probably the best player on Dogs Red. And I think just having that, like, okay, guys, hop on, let's go. I think is beneficial for someone. And he obviously built off of it this year with Reinhardt. And now with this Dogs team, where he is, I don't want to say in a complimentary role, cause he's still at the top of the order, but it doesn't have to just be him. I think has benefited him greatly.
Which kind of goes back to my Alejandro Cazorla. He's batting first. He's batting fourth. He's batting eighth. He's batting the age. You just hit ninth tonight, and you'll surprise everybody. So I love that dynamic that they have.
Another linchpin in that lineup is Sanchez, who I've seen have a few really good clutch games, and has been one, maybe the second best base runner on that team next to McDowell, I'd say.
I put Cazorla a little ahead. Cazorla,
yeah,
Sanchez,
that's true. Yeah,
I do love his patience. I remember again this.
Yes, Lewis, that's what
I remember. I remember watching him back in 2019 in the playoffs. He was one of those kids like, oh crap, everybody's gone from this roster, because there was Eddie Sanchez's older brother, but little brother Ricardo got to pinch hit in the playoffs. And if I'm not mistaken, either got the game tying run or the eventual game winning run in that championship game against Regina in 2019. He's a very patient batter as well. He's always, at least the last two games I watch him, has at least one quality at bat per game. So he's got, again, all the tools that Big Brother has, and another Dogs Academy graduate, I may add as well.
And the thing I like about Sanchez is sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, go ahead, Peter. Go ahead.
The thing I like about Sanchez is the bat speed. And that, I think, allows you to be a bit more patient, because you can allow for that. Now we're talking about like heartbeats of time, but you can allow that ball to come in for just a split second longer. And okay, yeah, I can swing at this one, and you can get there. It's very kind of for I was going to say older Blue Jays fans, not that long ago, but it's kind of peak Aaron Hill-esque, where you can just wait on it. And then the swing, boom, the bat is just, like, gets the barrel of the bat through the zone so quickly. Like, and that allows him, he can wait a little bit longer on pitches to see if it's a ball or a strike, see what the movement is. And he's good going the other way. He's got a quick bat, so he can pull a lot of pitches that you wouldn't necessarily think he can pull. And he can wait on those. And that gets you to like twice as many walks as strikeouts, which he has this year. And then, like you said, he's a problem on the bases. So I'm with you guys. I really like his game a lot.
Well, yeah, his patience is one of the best I've seen, because he will take walks. I think he's the leader in the Dogs and walks, if not up there. And by the way, if we're going to a Gen Z audience right now, it is over their head with Aaron Hill and Paul O'Neill and
Chapman Chamberlain. Say, how did we go from Alejandro Cazorla to Paul O'Neill to Aaron Hill in like a span of 5-10 minutes?
I think the only reference anyone will get was Gino with the CC Sabathia. And that's only because he has a podcast right now. Like, that's probably.
He has a podcast?
Yeah.
He's on Bill Simmons Network.
Yeah. He's on The Ringer.
Oh, I don't podcast enough. I listen to Couch Potato and Fresh Take, but.
There you go. Of course.
Really don't. What am I missing right now?
CC Sabathia, apparently.
And I love CC Sabathia, and he played for the Yankees. So. That shows how much I liked him.
I loved the old score when they had the radio station, and Cam Stewart always called him carbs and calories Sabathia. that has stuck with me for, and then he lost some weight, and so they called him celeries and carrots Sabathia for a bit.
Oh, I remember when he played for Cleveland. I know we're supposed to be talking about the WCBL, but when he was Cleveland Sabathia, that was the only thing stopping the Boston Red Sox from moving on oh crap, we got to face him for the third time in the series. And
well, he had the year with the Brewers too that was locked down.
Yes,
right? Yeah, he pitched every third game. Like, he was on 3 days rest the entire second half of the baseball season to get that team into the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Didn't he hit like a couple home runs too?
Yep.
For something like that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, love me some CeCe Sabathia. Love me some.
I think the podcast is called, I guess, Cheap Plug for the Ringer here. I think it's because it's CCBC, and it's CeCe, and I believe one of the voice of the Yankees that does the show as okay. well. Yeah, so as a Red Sox fan, maybe not as enjoyable for you right now.
Hey, like I said, it's the off year for the Red Sox, but somehow they're somehow in playoff contention this year.
Yeah, don't worry. And Peter and I know the same thing with our Blue Jays.
Yeah, it's an off year. Like, they win the championship, and then they're supposed to fail, and now we're in that cycle again, right?
So it is R2C2 with CeCe Sabathia and Ryan Rucco.
Yeah, okay. Ryan Rucco. Yeah, it's a good show. It's a good show.
Get us back on track, Josh.
Yeah, I will. So we come back. There's going to be, I think, about 5-6 games left in the season, and then, like you said, Gino, the NCAA season will, you know, at least the teams will want their players back and everything like that. But I think the playoffs only go to like the 14th. Like, these playoffs, they're going to go by fast.
There'll be players this season or in the playoffs, if they, like, especially pitchers, if they don't have to pitch anymore, they won't be there for a celebration. They'll be,
wow.
Let's say they pitch at 7 o'clock at Siemens Stadium on a Wednesday night. They're going to be on the red eye to California or Lynn Benton Community College Thursday morning at 2 a.m.
or Okanagan and Oregon State, because that seems where 75% of the docs are from.
Well, there's a lot of connections there with Mitch Schmidt and Andy Peterson and Joe Sargent and Johnny Urkandia as well for recruiting. So Lynn Benton is a big one always. Andy Peterson's there as the manager. So
It's been a fun season for this Dogs team, and I guess I'll hit you on this, Gino, and then go to Peter. But, you know, you've had, you know, you're the senior here of getting the call of this team, and you've seen championships and everything like that. You guys talked about the two academy teams and where everything was last year. Now we have all of one. They're leading. You mentioned Sylvan Lace coming on. Moose Jaw is great. I think this Edmonton team really seems to be getting their stuff together as well. We're seeing a lot of those teams gel, right? It's almost hard to kind of judge some of the teams in the WCBL in the first 10 games because – like we mentioned the start, the roster is not fully complete. As we come down the stretch here, what are you feeling, Gino, for this Dogs team heading into the playoffs?
Oh man, it's going to be a tough first. It's going to be a tough first round. I don't know who you want in the first round.
Yeah.
I'll go back to just some historical parts with the Dogs a little bit. When the Edmonton prospects were coached by Ray Brown, they gave the Dogs team headaches every time in the playoffs and beat them a couple series in a row with Ray at the controls. So if Fort McMurray gets into the four seed, that's going three. That, to me, that is firmly going to go three games, just the way Fort McMurray has been playing. And that's the way it would be. And then you'd have Lethbridge and Sylvan Lake in the 2-3 with Edmonton, what, two games back, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, Edmonton and Brooks are two games back.
And Brooks is not, they're not horrible. Like, remember, like, their hockey teams have always been good, but their baseball teams are getting better. Like, you look at this weekend, you're gonna see Matt Wolf, who's one of the leaders in home runs. I think there's a lot of
watch.
Yes, I haven't seen him much this year.
I really enjoyed watching him.
The games I watched Brooks this year was opening weekend, where the Dogs won 16-0 and 11-2. That's right. But the West Division's so good, and I thought Medicine Hat would be a hair better in the East because they were out of the West, and they were the Dogs' biggest rival for years, along with Lethbridge. But I think that's Moose Jaw's division to lose, and they'll be in the WCBL final. Like, you could call it a guarantee. I'm calling my shot there that whoever wins the West is playing Moose Jaw in the WCBL final.
I would tend to agree with that. And like, I just, that Brooks team, cause I do the player prep, and then I look at like standings and all that stuff after. And I did the player prep, and then I looked at the standings. And I was like, wait a minute. Those don't match up. These are not. Mm-hmm. Brooks is like five guys hitting over 300. Now they can't pitch a lick, but they got like five guys hitting over 300. They have a couple of pitchers who are pretty good. I'm exaggerating for humor purposes. But like, I looked at that team. I was like, how are they? This is not the statistical makeup of a last place team. So I get we're kind of running out of runway here to really take off. But that you guys are right. Like you finish first, like, okay, good matchup. And then it's going to be difficult in the second round. It's going to be difficult in the second round with either a Lethbridge or a Sylvan Lake, but it is not going to be a cakewalk in that first round, whether it is for McMurray, Edmonton, or Brooks. That there are problems on all three of those teams.
Well, I think the Brooks thing actually, Pete, if I'm not, and I haven't been to Elks Field, I think it's a smaller field. So the hitting is up when you're at home, which is great. How dare you play well at home? Because that's your job.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of a factor there that's maybe one of the smaller parks in the league. And I just wanted to bring this up before we kind of disappeared was you look at the East Division home run derby with Nate Mensick. He's got 9 home runs. And then Nate Bock from Regina was 6. Also Nolan Machabrota from Weber, they've got 6. I feel like those diamonds are obviously get a little bit shorter in distance because when you come out west, McCoy Pierce has got 5. Matt Wolf has 6, but he's in Brooks. And I have Caden Zeroni with 4, who's supposed to be the other participant from Sylvan Lake. He's got 4. So is there a little bit of an issue there with pitching and length of field? So I'm curious how things are going to go when it comes to the home run derby on the weekend.
Yeah, because it's a big ballpark.
I got robbed of a call. So this is kind of a little bit broadcast booth side. I think it was Tucker. Actually, I thought he had his first home run, right? And so that sun can get in your eyes even as a broadcaster. I'm like, and it's back. And the defense did the thing where they kind of, you know, crash into the wall, right? And I had my MLB The Show brain on where, you know, when those AI guys, they go into the wall, it's like, well, that ball's gone, right? And it touches the like borderline side of the fence and just falls right out. And I'm just like, it's gone. Just the fence. And I was like, jeez.
Oh yeah. Well, you almost think like something like, cause of the age of these players when they're making the, I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, they got it. They caught it. Like, well done.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Forget the caliber that they are. And I haven't seen a home run robbed yet in my time in the WCBL where somebody leaps the fence. That's probably the last thing on my list for that. I have seen one baseball touch the Petro-Canada parking lot
a couple years ago.
Jacob Melton did that.
There you go. That's why he's in the second round.
Yeah. That's what I believe it was Jacob Melton.
All right. So just before we get out of here, I figured I'd here are your dogs that are going to the All-Star game. They have 6 dogs going. So we talked about their ace and Graham Bruner. He's there. Also, Ryan McFarland. He is an All-Star. On the bat side, you have the terrific Jacob Morrow is going. Brandon Luther, McCoy Pierce, the super talented does it both ways, Noah Geeky, and the speedster Micah McDowell going. Obviously, you talked about how we'd like Cazorla there, but terrific lineup of dogs that will be representing at the WCBL All-Star Game, which will be live on Home Team Live and will be live from Siemens Stadium. And tickets are still on sale. The ballpark opens at 4 p.m. and the Home Run Derby starts at 5 o'clock. Game starts at 7:05 and fireworks afterwards. Did I get everything in my promo ability there?
I think you nailed it. That was a one take promo.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, anything left to add, Peter?
No, I think we covered it. I'm excited to see all this talent. Like I said, like we only kind of parachute in for a game or two and then parachute back out. So it's going to be fun to see all these guys on the field at the same time. And this is going to be a really, really fun showcase, I think, for the league.
Absolutely.
Yeah, ditto. I'm just curious to see how players react to an All-Star game. Will they be fully engaged? Are they, it's going to be just a weekend at Bernie's sort of situation. I think you'll see this dogs team at home. I think you'll get a full, almost a sellout for Siemens Stadium for this because there's fireworks and Southern Alberta. It's just a fascination that I need to see these. So I need to go to the ballpark. And I firmly think like there's so many players in this All-Star game. Like are you going to see all the dogs on at the same time? Probably not, but the starting lineups, that's what I want to know. Who starts and who is on the bench first, because there's going to be some there might be some mutiny on the bench for trying to get in or trying to get somebody out of the game. But I just hope, let's just hope everybody has fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, if you want to hear the game, if you try to get to the park, there's still limited tickets left to get to the Dogs. Check it out at beautiful Siemens Stadium. Even if you're, you know, from one of these visiting teams, or you're from Calgary up the road, or Cochrane, or anywhere along the borderline here in the Calgary's vicinity, go check it out. And if not, you can somehow, you'll hear all of us at one point on Home Team Live during that game. It's actually going to be an all-star broadcast. And thanks everyone. Thanks to Peter and the Dogs broadcast legend and Gino. And until you've been doing it long enough, it goes to that level.
Legend. Yeah. All right. Let's leave it at that.
Modest. And until next time, everyone, cheers and enjoy the games, people.
You're listening to the Fresh Tate Network.